Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Naturally, hear a lot about gratitude at this time of year. With Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and New Year's, we offer thanks for family, friends, our homes, jobs, and health. But what if gratitude could actually improve our physical health, as well as mental and emotional states? Recent research has proven this to be true. Today, I'll be reading from the website 60 and Me, Why Cultivating Gratitude is a Reset Button for Positivity After 60 by Susan Tariba, 10 months ago. From the Redmond Heights Senior Living, 4 Ways Gratitude is Good for You, August 2017. From November 2018 Prevention Magazine, The Healing Power of Gratitude by Jennifer King Lindley. Greater Good Magazine offers What Happens When Older Adults Take a Class on Gratitude by Sarah Orman, January 2018, and the Visiting Angels website, Show Your Gratitude Each and Every Day, starting with 60 and Me, Why Cultivating Gratitude is a Reset Button for Positivity After 60. The rice paddies that stretch out from the house are flooded now, reflecting sky with big puffball clouds and that turn pink and then orange, and then white as the morning sun rises. The chickens are crowing near and far, and not just the roosters. My black hen stretches out her red wattled head and crows too. I can't believe that sound comes out of her. Both chickens and white herons peruse the paddies, foraging for insects and tiny fish that come with the flooding. Occasionally, a heron flies right toward me as I sit on the veranda writing. It glides up over the roof at the last minute, its gray feet tucked neatly against its white body. How rare this moment is, a close-up view of the underside of a cococan, as the Balinese call these birds. I count all of these blessings. Gratitude arises, filling my chest with warmth. My eyes smile. In our day-to-day lives, it's easy to get caught up in the drama of the news, the challenges facing us and our families, dealing with anxiety and concerns about our own aging bodies. Gratitude can seem far away. And yet gratitude is a safety zone and a respite from our hectic world. It's a way to take a deep breath and just for the sake of being. When I was caring for my husband who had Alzheimer's and life seemed bleak, something would happen to pull me back to gratitude and the light. It might have been as simple as a dragonfly landing on my hand or seeing a rainbow in a drop of dew on a banana leaf. Gratitude brings us back to the present moment where fear and anxiety don't exist. It acts like a reset button to pull us out of despair. If gratitude doesn't come spontaneously to you, you can cultivate it. Choose a time that works for you, maybe first thing upon waking, over dinner, or just before you go to bed, and think about the things in your day that you have to be thankful for. Choose one thing, and if more come along, give thanks for them too. It can be as simple as a hug from a friend, a compliment on your hair, or a beautiful scene you came upon. The important thing here is to practice gratitude every day. It doesn't take time, it's easy, and science is showing that positive emotions create lasting effects. Negative emotions, such as fear and anger, are a natural part of our instinctual survival techniques. We see a snake, a car coming at us, or a large coconut over our heads, and fear focuses our energy to avoid the threat and save our lives. We have a fight with a friend and our anger consumes us well after we've had the confrontation. This is a problem with our habitual experience with negative emotions. They stay with us, clouding the events that are really happening in our present moment. Much as we may try, we can't avoid these emotions. They are a natural part of us, ensuring our survival. However, we can cultivate positive emotions, which have a lasting effect on our brains and our everyday lives. Research done at the University of North Carolina has found that positive emotions such as joy, contentment, gratitude, and love open our minds to more possibilities in our lives. Negative emotions narrow that playing field to a very thin focus. One of the things I'm most grateful for is that gratitude comes easily to me. It has been with me most of my life, even in the really hard times, although admittedly less frequently. But not everyone finds it this easy to summon the feeling of gratitude, and this is where using a technique comes in handy. Robert Emmons has studied gratitude for over a decade and has written extensively about it. He suggests that people challenged in feeling gratitude should practice grateful emotions that include smiling, saying thank you, and writing letters of gratitude. He explains that the mere practice will cultivate the real feelings. He also suggests 9 other ways to cultivate gratitude, including keeping a gratitude journal in which you write down what you're thankful for each day. I came across one such journal I had started several years ago, and just reading my entries brought warmth to my heart again. Those positive feelings had endured and actually created new ones. This morning, I'm grateful for not just the herons and the rice patties, but also for 60 and me and being able to be a contributor. Moving on now to Redmond Heights Senior Living, 4 ways gratitude is good for you. Modern medicine is one of the reasons the 21st century is a great time to be alive, and our ability to prevent dangerous diseases has changed the quality of life for grateful generations. In 2015, 91.8% of American children 19 to 35 months old were vaccinated against chickenpox. If you've ever suffered the soul-crushing itching of chickenpox, you know those children are lucky. But our sophisticated medicines and surgeries still can't cure everything. Chronic pain, for example, which has both a physical and a mental component. Our medicines are great at treating physical symptoms, but they can't do much about the mental side of things. That's where gratitude comes in. Gratitude is a practice of the mind that benefits both the mind and the body. Whether you suffer from chronic pain, are feeling the effects of advanced age, or just want to stand at the helm of your own health, gratitude is a vastly underrated cure for so many ailments, said Michael Anderson, administrator at the Rehabilitation Center of Des Moines, a skilled nursing facility. It gives us an invisible power to combat the challenges we face each day, especially as we age. Gratitude can benefit your overall health, soothe aches and pains, aid sleep, and diminish stress. Overall health. The more gratitude people feel, the more physically healthy they are. Sound too good to be true? Research has shown that gratitude can help you reach your fitness goals, reduce blood pressure, lower your cholesterol, and get sick less often. It's not just the gratitude of our patients that makes a difference, points out Anderson. The gratitude of their families also has a significant healing effect on the health of our patients as they transition through life. One researcher found that gratitude may be linked to well-being because positive emotions, including gratitude, build enduring personal resources that function as reserves to be drawn on in times of need. When you express gratitude, you're giving yourself more motivation to exercise, more power to choose healthy foods, and more fortitude against viruses. Aches and pains. Oh, yeah, aches and pains. Short of dosing up on a good old painkiller and distracting ourselves, there's not much we can do about them. But gratitude is a resource that can help those who suffer from pain to transcend the aches and even experience less of them. One fibromyalgia sufferer kept a gratitude journal for months. And this practice not only changed the way she experienced her condition, but it also changed her. I can look beyond the pain and fatigue and look forward to each day and the joy it will bring, she said. Expressing gratitude can give you the mental strength you need to face your aches and pains with positivity and power. Sleep. Earplugs in, sleep mask on, and you still can't fall asleep? Or maybe you have no trouble falling asleep, but you still wake feeling groggy. Try writing in a gratitude journal before bed. Research has found that even a 2-week gratitude practice can improve sleep quality. Bing Crosby crooned it best. When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. Stress. Some of today's most worrisome health conditions, cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and obesity, are linked to a stressful lifestyle. But don't stress out about that. Studies have shown that gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. Each of the patients we serve at our facility is going through a stress of major life transition, said Anderson. I have noticed that the patients who express gratitude are a lot happier and calmer. They even make better progress in their therapy because the stress of facing a challenge doesn't faze them, it only invigorates them. Further practicing gratitude helps us get the social support we need to make it through difficult and stressful times of life. The simple acts of feeling and expressing gratitude have benefits that go far beyond what we might expect. Gratitude improves overall health, soothes aches and pains, aids sleep, and diminishes stress. So, prescribe yourself some gratitude. And now to the healing power of gratitude, call it vitamin G. Research shows that being grateful has a deep and lasting impact on your body. Good friends, family, a home, the kindness of others, these are the things we give thanks for before diving into the turkey, or at least after everyone's gone home and the dishes are done, and we can also be grateful for a coffee table to put our feet on. We know inherently that it's a good thing to take stock and appreciate what's going right in our world. And now scientists are saying that doing so can boost our physical health as much as it can our mental state or relationships. Studies have linked living a thankful life to fewer aches and pains, better sleep, and more. Making gratitude a daily practice is like taking a vitamin, said David Destino, PhD and professor of psychology at Northeastern University in Boston and author of the book Emotional Success. He's not being hyperbolic. He means it's like an actual vitamin, making your body work better. And the deep, long-lasting power of gratitude is blissfully simple to harness. It helps to know that when experts talk about gratitude, they mean more than saying thank you the way you've been taught since you were old enough to speak. Gratitude is affirming the goodness in one's life and recognizing that its source lies outside the self, said Robert Emmons, PhD, a professor of psychology at the University of California, Davis, and author of The Little Book of Gratitude. It's feeling indebted, he said, not only to Aunt Charlotte for the hand-knit sweater, but also to nature for a beautifully crisp winter day. Emmons has been studying the connection for over 15 years. In one early study, he asked a group of volunteers to write down 5 things they were grateful for once a week for 10 weeks. Sample entries: the sun on my skin, becoming a great grandparent. Other groups recorded either small hassles or neutral daily events. At the end of the study, the blessing counters reported feeling 25% happier, but the rest of the findings were far more tangible. The people who practiced gratitude spent 30% more time exercising and had fewer health complaints. Since then, research findings have confirmed more benefits. A 2015 study in the Journal of Health Psychology, for example, found that subjects who kept gratitude journals for just 2 weeks slept better and had lower blood pressure readings. Other research found that this kind of journaling resulted in a 40% drop in daily smoking rates after 2 months. Amazingly, even people who are very sick can benefit from feeling grateful. In one study, older adults who had early-stage heart failure had more consistent heart rates as well as lower levels of disease-causing inflammation when they regularly kept gratitude journals. This all speaks to a powerful connection between our minds and our bodies, and researchers have a few theories that could help explain it. For one thing, when we feel overwhelmed, whether by deadlines or by family squabbles, our nervous systems go into a state of high alert. This arousal floods the body with stress hormones like cortisol, which over time can cause a cascade of health problems, from high blood pressure to inflammation. The sense of profound well-being that washes over us when we feel grateful sends a message to our bodies that all is well. Quieting these responses, feelings of gratitude trigger the parasympathetic or calming branch of the nervous system, said Emmons. At the same time, appreciating the things we have may help us resist the lure of instant gratification. The impulse behind so many of our worst health habits, from smoking to skipping the gym. In his research, Destino found that people who felt grateful would delay an immediate cash reward in favor of a bigger one later on. Gratitude makes us value the future. It increases people's self-control and helps reduce impulsive behavior, he explains. That often translates into smart health choices, like going to sleep at a reasonable time and eating mindfully. But perhaps the biggest payoff comes when we feel indebted to ourselves in the same way we do to others. People often report feeling grateful for their bodies, for the ability to see, smell, and hear, said Emmons. As a result, they take better care of themselves. It's all a big, healthy, happy circle of gratitude, and there's no moment like right now and every day to give thanks. Some simple ways to feel more grateful. Gratitude is a choice, and we can create it at virtually any moment in our lives, said Emmons. Over time, it will become more automatic, and that may rewire our brains in a lasting way. A preliminary study found that 3 months after writing a series of thank you letters, volunteers still showed increased sensitivity in the gratitude-related parts of their brains. Here are some ways to make gratitude your default setting. Write it down. One of the most studied methods is keeping a gratitude journal. Experts typically suggest you write down a handful of good things per day. To get the most out of this practice, don't just dash off a laundry list. Stop and contemplate why you feel grateful, being as specific as possible. I'm grateful for my new neighbor who helped me dig out my car in the freezing cold. Or, I've been worried about Dad, so I'm glad he was feeling up to talking to me on the phone. In one study, people who wrote 5 sentences about a single positive thing got more of a boost than those who wrote 1 sentence about each of 5 different things. Focus on little surprises. We tend to think of the things we're grateful for with big capital letters, family, home, health. But over time, focusing only on such biggies can make those lose meaning. Look around for surprising little acts of kindness to give yourself a gratitude reboot. Destino suggests, think of a person at the grocery store who held the door for you when your hands were full. Give yourself reminders. I stop several times a day to notice, appreciate, and savor the good in my life, says Meredith A. Pung, PhD, a clinical research coordinator in family medicine and public health at the University of California, San Diego, who studies gratitude. You might think of something you're grateful for every time you open a door, for example. Sunlight through the window, a friend bearing coffee, a new dishwasher, kid jokes. Go mobile. Try an app like Gratitude Journal, which pings when you are prompted to think about all you could appreciate. You can share your posts with friends to spread the good feelings, or click through the website Thanks for THNXDigit4.org, which was developed by UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center to act as an electronic storehouse of positivity. Along with posting what you're grateful for, you can read strangers' posts to get you in a thankful mood. And finally, say it out loud. When you have the opportunity to express your appreciation to another person, do it in a way that acknowledges the giver rather than how his or her act makes you feel. Instead of saying, "I can't wait to wear this scarf," phrase your thanks in a way that highlights the other person's efforts or qualities you like most about him or her. Say, "You're so thoughtful to remember my favorite color." Psychologist Sarah Algo, PhD and Associate Professor of Social Psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, says, "I call this putting the you in thank you." Her research suggests that this approach can strengthen bonds, which is healthy for both of you. Strong relationships have the same positive impact on our longevity as the negative impact smoking 15 cigarettes a day has on our mortality, she says. And living longer in better health gives you more reasons to be thankful. And now from Greater Good Magazine, what happens when older adults take a class on gratitude? An instructor shares her experience teaching older adults the science and practice of gratitude. This fall, 15 adults over age 50 gathered together in a university classroom to learn about gratitude. They were students at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of California, Berkeley, who had registered and paid to take a module on gratitude from the Greater Good Science Center's online course, The Science of Happiness. I taught the module as a flipped classroom. Participants read articles, watched videos, and worked on gratitude practices at home each week, and then came to 5 live weekly classes to discuss the content that they had studied. Before and after the course, we asked participants to fill out surveys about their gratitude and life satisfaction. Over the course of those 5 weeks, the average gratitude score went up from 5 to 6 6/10 out of 7. And the number of people who were highly satisfied with their life doubled. But those results were less impressive than the transformations we witnessed. At the first session, we answered questions about computer use so that our participants could easily find, open, and view the content of the course on their computers. I also presented an overview of positive psychology, the big scientific field in which gratitude resides. During our introductions, when students spoke about what drew them to the class, our sole male participant, Brian, said his wife had made him come. He was not feeling particularly grateful, as he was losing his sight to macular degeneration, but he was willing to see if there was anything in the course for him. During the first session, our oldest participant expressed concern that the course would be too challenging for her. "Say more about that," I asked. Abigail said, "I thought you were going to teach me 2 or 3 more ways to say thank you. This isn't that. This is going to require that I think more deeply about my approach to life, and I'm not sure I'm up to it." At the end of that first class, I said that I'd hoped Abigail would consider coming back the following week. She responded, "Oh, I've already decided. I'm going to try to meet the challenge." Another woman, Karen, came to our basement classroom in a motorized wheelchair. Getting to class required 2 different trains and a shuttle bus. She was also one of the most demonstratively grateful people in the course. In succeeding weeks, the group learned about keeping a gratitude journal, writing a gratitude letter, and expressing gratitude as a way to recover from a negative experience. Each week, participants chose a gratitude practice they would try between sessions and discussed those practices at the beginning of class. Some of the practices included nurturing current friendships, watching inspiring videos, and appreciating nature. As a final project, I asked that each participant plan a gratitude letter. They weren't required to actually write the letter, though a few of the participants did, but to think deeply about who the recipient would be, what the source of gratitude was and how they would express that gratitude. The final presentations were inspiring. Before the last class, we learned that Brian's wife couldn't come, which meant that he couldn't come. I volunteered to meet him at the entrance to the classroom building if his wife could find a ride for him, and she said she would think about it. The following week, he arrived in a wheelchair with a health aide who stayed to hear all of the gratitude letter presentations, including the ones by Brian and Karen, both of whom had attended every single class. Brian said that he would write a letter of appreciation to his secretary, who made his professional life so much easier and smoother. As a lifelong military officer, he told us that these letters were very important in military files to facilitate promotions and awards. At the end of class, he expressed his own gratitude for the course and for the change it had made in his approach to life. Like Abigail, he had decided to meet the gratitude challenge. Author Sarah Oram, PhD, is a faculty member at UC Berkeley's Osher Lifelong Learning. And now going on to some information from visiting angels. As we enter the holiday season, most people find a tug at their hearts. All those Hallmark cards seem to bring a tear to the eye much quicker. But what about the holidays when they're over and it's back to our normal selves? Maybe overwhelmed by problems and concerns of everyday life. Well, stop to consider what our lives would be like if we donned our Pollyanna-ish attitude every day of the year. Of course, that's unrealistic, but to make being more thankful more often a normal part of our existence could make this a happier world and you a healthier person. For studies have definitely shown that grateful people are happier, healthier, and better able to withstand hardship, by Kim Painter, USA Today. And here are just a couple little tidbits. Give a free hug. Often we can go too long without showing our affection and gratitude, even to those who are closest to us. Don't neglect this important part of your relationship. And try to say thanks even for the negative things in your life. That's the hard part, truth be told, when things go wrong and you're not happy, when people are mean to us, when we're worn down by a million slings and arrows of everyday life. But give it a try. Well, that's all we have time for today. To all of those of you out there who have listened to this program today, I do honestly thank you. And until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.